Is daf dalet. So we got to the last two lines of Gimel and Beis. The Gemara had a whole discussion, according to Shitas Abaye, that sometimes the Chazal use an amma that's 6 tvachim long, and sometimes they use an amma that's 5 tvachim long. We said by Kalayim they use 6 tvachim, and with respect to Mavoi and Sukkah, they use a measurement of 5 tvachim. So now the Gemara quotes the opinion of Rava. That was all Abaye. This is Rava. Rava says, the bottom of Gimel and Beis, the Rava Mishmeder of Nachman Amar, Kol amos ba'ama bas shisha. No, every amma that's used by Chazal is always 6 tvachim long. Ela halu shochkos v'halu atos. Some are tight and some are wide. What does that mean? So if you look at Rashi, last line, Rashi says, halu shochkos amos kalayim modedim b'tvachim gedolim, larger tvachim. Meaning sometimes you can make your hands very tight. That's when it's atsevas. Atsevas lashon of atos. A person is depressed and saddened to himself. I think tight, that's tight. And shochos is when the fingers are not so tight, a little bit loose. So, but you're always using 6 tachim. So when it comes to that of a kalayim where you allow for a larger shear, that's still using 6 tachim, but it's 6 wider tachim, gedolo. Vishal sukkah, mavoi, atsevos, mitumtus, lechumer, which are tighter tachim, which are a little bit smaller. So it's going to end up being slightly smaller, but it's always going to be 6 tachim according to Rava. So the Gemara asks against Rava, or against one of them, meisive kol amos, sh'amu chachamim ba'ama, bashisha, every amma used by Chazal is always 6 tachim long, uvilvad, so long as shelo yihu muchuvanos, as long as it's not precise. So it has to be 6 amas, but sometimes it's more precise, sometimes it's tighter, sometimes it's a little bit looser. So the Gemara says, Bishma, I understand, LaRava, this makes sense according to Rava, who was the last opinion, who felt that you always use 6 amos, but sometimes it's tighter, sometimes it's shochkos, sometimes it's atsevos. This all makes sense, is Braisa. Ki heichei de leheven halu shochkos valu atsevos. So you always use 6 tvachim, but sometimes it's tighter, sometimes it's a little bit looser. That makes sense for Rava, this Braisa. Elala Baye Kasha, Baye, who says it's not true. We don't always use 6 tvachim. Sometimes we use 5 tvachim. This brisa goes against the Baye's understanding. So Amar Lecha Baye, Baye says, Ema, let's say the brisa means Amas Kalaim Ba'ama Bash Shisha. Now maybe this brisa doesn't say Kol, it doesn't say Kol Amo Shamu Chachamim. Maybe it should say Kalaim Shamu Chachamim is Bash Shisha. Only Kalaim, however, when it comes to Mavoi and that of Sukkah, it would only be 5 tvachim. Gemara says, it's hard to say that this statement is referring to only Kalayim from the Seifa, because Vahamid Tani Seifa, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Braisa goes on to say that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol Amos Shemu Chachamim B'Kalayim Ba'amas Bashisha U'Bavad Shal Yumu Tzumtzamos. So Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel focuses it on only Kalayim. Does that not imply Michlal the Tanakama Kol Amos Kamar? From the very fact that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is talking about only Kalayim implies that Chachamim say all Amos. So you can't change the gears of the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says all Amos are 6 Tvachim like that of a Rava against Abaye. So Abaye says, okay, fine. So there's machlokes between Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says 6 Tvachim is only Lagabi Kalayim, and Tanakhama holds all Amos are 6 Tvachim. However, V'lav mi'ike Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, dekai kavasiyani, dami kiraka Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So Abaye says, okay, I agree, there's a machlokas, there's Tanakhama, and there's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. I paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who holds that only by Kalayim requires 6 tvachim, but all other amos, that of Mavoi, that in Sukkah, would be 5 tvachim. So it's a machlokas tonight, according to Abaye, and he paskins like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara says, okay, so the Abaye vale tonight. For things to work out for Abaye, it must be a machlokas tonight. However, L'Rava, who again holds, Rava holds all amos, Sh'amu Chacham, are always 6 amos, six tvachim rather, mi lema tanai, does he have to say it's a machlokas tanai? Amal charava, maybe Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, ha'asa lashmina and amas klaim lo yitzamte. Maybe it's not necessarily a machlokas tanai according to Rava. Maybe really that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is simply explaining the position of Tanakam. So look to what's going on here. So look at Rashi. Rashi says 4 narrow lines down the Rava. The Rava, mi lema tanai. Mi amrinan, do we say, again, Rava is the one who holds that kol amos shamu chachamim is 6 tvachim. So Rava is understanding the brisa now. Do we say, mi amrinan, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, polig, alel, meymar, amos klaim, ba'ama bashisha, that only by klaim are they 6 tvachim. Aval shar amos kigon tzuko mavoy, ba'ama bas chamisha. So there's a machlokas, do we say that? Oh, Dilma, perhaps, prushe kamefarish, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he's explaining the Messiah, the Rabban, he's explaining the Shita of the Tanakhama, but they're not arguing, Dami, that they say, ubavad shlo yihu mechuvanos, as long as it's not exact, Yesh men shochakos, v'yesh men atzevos. I mean, not every six amma is exact. Sometimes you need a looser six tvachim amma. Sometimes you need a tighter six tvachim amma. V'lo pirshu ezem en shochos v'ezem en atzevos. He doesn't explain which one is the tighter, which one's the looser, and therefore asa ihu lefrushe. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel comes along to explain the hanach to climb the kalaima amos leve shochos should be very loose. Kitikatani ubavaj lohu mitzumtamos. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is not arguing; he might be explaining, elaborating on the Tanakhama. But really, every amma is always six tvachim, and that's what Gemara says. That's very possible. Rava says there is no machlokas tanoim. Everybody holds that every amma is six tvachim, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is just clarifying that the looser tvachim applies to klayim, but the tighter tvachim apply to mavoi and sukkah and the like. So Gemara now says Vilema. So now in the statement of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, there seems to be a little ambiguity how he said it. Lema amas klaim lo yitzamsem. So when Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is responding, it's really just explaining Tanakhama. Tanakhama says every amas six tvachim. So now all Rabbi Shimon Gamliel has to say, okay, when it comes to klaim, have a looser klaim. Why does he have to say it's also ba'ama ba'shisha? We know it's ba'ama ba'shisha. The Tanakhama already says ama ba'shisha, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is explaining when you play a looser and a tighter one. So why does it say, Gemara says, lema amas Kalaim lo yitzam same period. That's all Rashbag should say. Ba'ama ba'shisha, why are you saying, and he's repeating again, the ama six tvach, and we know that from the Tanakhama if they're not arguing. So Gemara says, must be, l'mu'ute mai, lav l'mu'ute amas sukkah, v'amas mafoy. Is it not coming to exclude that only Bekalayim has six tvachim amas, but that of sukkah, that of mavoi, would be five tvachim amas, and this would be a kasha according to Rava, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is mechalik between the different amas by sukkah, mavoi, versus Bekalayim. Which is low, not true. Really, an ama is six tvachim, bein lemavoi, bein le sukkah, bein le klaim. What's a case where it's only five tvachim? That's a completely different topic. Lemute ama yisod vama sovev. Comes to Mizbeach, there's an area that's called the Yisod, and the Mizbeach had a little area protruding on the side, which kind of hugged against the southwestern corner to the northeastern corner. There was a half the Mizbeach had Yisod sticking out in the bottom, a little platform where they'd pour the shirah, the extra blood, on that part of the Yisod, depending on what the carbon was. And there's something high up called a sovev, where the Kohen would walk around the Mizbeach. You probably have pictures about this, but it was an area that was below the top of the Mizbeach, kind of halfway up the Mizbeach, where the Kohen would walk around to sprinkle the blood. So one area is called the Yisod, is on the platform in the bottom, and a sovev was midway up, which is an area to walk around. So those amas of the sovev and the Yisod, those had a five tefachim amah. What are these things? The Gemara explains, the Chassid, it says in the Pasuk, it says in Yechezkel as follows. It describes the dimensions, ve'elu midos ha-mizbeach ba'amos. When building the mizbeach, you use the following dimensions of amma. Amma, amma, ve'tofach. So tofach, lashon of tefach. We know it was really six, an amma was really five tefachim, and you add an extra tefach for building the yesod and building the sovev. So the amma is really five tefachim, but you add an extra tefach. Now, in the end of the day, it ends up being equal to a six tefach amma. But we see that the measurements used by the Beis Hamikdash was that of a five tefachim amma, which is why they had to add an extra tefach afterwards. So again, the pasuk says ve'elu midos hamizbeach ba'amos amma amma. Each amma was five tefachim. That's the implication, plus a tofach, a tefach. And it applied to Cheka Amma. We'll see what these particulars are in a second. The Cheka Amma, the Amma Rochav, and Gvula Shel Svasa Saviv, the border around the lip of the going around. Zeres Echav is the size of a pinky. Vezer Gav Mizbeach. So what exactly is this describing? So the Gemara tells us that Cheka Amma, that area that's kind of been etched out in Amma of the Mizbeach, Ze Yisod. That's the Yisod that was protruding from the bottom of the Mizbeach. That was based on an Amma of five Tfachim plus an extra Tefach on top. And when it described in the Pasuk in Yechezkel, V'ama Rochav, Zeh Sovev, that's the area midway up where the Kohen would walk around sometimes. And then, Gvula El Svasa Sovev, the border on top, the lip, that was referring to Elu HaKranos, the corners, the little horns sticking out of each of the four corners of the Mizbeach. V'zeh Gav Mizbeach, that's referring to Zeh Mizbeach Hazav, the golden one. Either way, we see from all this, it seems clear from the Pasuk that Amma used by Mizbeach was that of five Tvachim. That's what's coming to exclude. But it comes to, again, Sukkah, Mavoy, and that of Kalayim, Rava holds, we're referring to an Amma that's six Tvachim long. So the Gemara now says, oftentimes when we learn about Shirum, the Gemara introduces the following concept. Amar, Rebbe Chiya Bar Ashi, Amar Rav.
So only the Yisod and five, and then the rest is six in the same within the same mizbeach.
No, they're all five, but you add an extra tefach on top of it. But that's not an amah. That's just an extra tefach they add. But the amah that's used is a five tefach amah. That's why the pasuk has to say amah abba vitofach. But the amah used was a five tefach amah though. So the Gemara says, Amar b'chir ba'ashi amar rav, shi'urim chatzitzin u'mechitzin, these three categories, when it comes to shi'urim measurements, when it comes to a chatzitza in the mikvah, and it comes to mechitza, building walls, these three categories are all halacha l'moshe m'sinai. We have a certain tradition dating back to halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So Gemara is now going to talk about each one of these categories, shi'urim, chatzitzin, and mechitzin, that it's not really halacha l'moshe m'sinai, we have psukim that teach us these dinim. So number one, shiurim deraisi. It's not a halach moshe m'sinai. There's a pasuk about it. It says the pasuk eretz chita v'sa'ar reva gomer, and it lists all the shivas aminim. V'amir rav chanan kol pasuk hazeh. This entire pasuk l'shiurim nermar. Each of the shiva aminim have something to teach us about this different area of halacha. So in other words, chita. What's the relevance of the shiva chita? Wheat. Look at the Tanan. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Negayim. Hanichnas the beis hamanuga. A person enters into a house that has negetzaras. The Caliph al Ksefav, he's carrying clothing on his shoulder. He's not wearing it, but he's carrying it on his shoulder. V'sandalav, he's holding shoes. V'tavosav, v'yadav, he's holding some rings in his hand, but he's not wearing them. Who? V'hem tamei miyad. He and that which he's holding is all tamei immediately. Because the pasuk says that bias, when a person enters the bias, immediately he becomes tamei, whether or not he is holding it or he himself. However, in contrast to, but if he's a hayalavish caliph, if he's wearing the clothing, and the sandals are on his shoes, and he has rings on his fingers, who tamei miyad, vein ta'orin, so he's immediately tamei. The pasuk says when he enters into the house, he's tamei. However, hein, the clothing in which he's wearing, ad sheyishe b'chdei achilas pras. He has to wait the amount of time to eat a piece of bread, a wheat bread. Why? What's the relevance? So Rashi points out, if you look at Rashi, Lavush, Hayalavush, Kalev, Ve'chein kulam derech levishasan, they're all, he's wearing the shoes and the rings and so on, Ve'betelen etzla, the bottle, legabehim, uksiv, Ve'ha'ocha bebayis yichabes es begadav. When a person eats in the house, he washes clothing. So why eating? So the Gemara Darshins, Rashi quotes, that the Mitaras Kohanim, Mikroi, Dehai ochel lav achila mamashu. It doesn't really mean eating. I mean, the guy walks in, doesn't eat, his clothing isn't tamei. Rather, it means, Ela sheyishay kadei shir achila. When do you have to wash begadim? If a person waited there, the amount of time it takes to eat. Not that the achila is garm the tumma. It's the shehiyah, the waiting in the area, the amount of time, kadei achila, that is what is matame the begadim, which just causes yichabis the begadav. Ubiya below shehiyah, entering in without actually delaying there, ain't a matame begadim. So the individual himself, or anything that he's carrying, is tamei miyad. But that which he wears, when it comes to, again, Yechabes is begadav, when he's wearing clothing, they only become tamei if he sits there or hangs out there long enough time that it takes to eat bread. So Gemara says, when it comes to how much the suit is, what type of achila, the Gemara says, Bechteach is pras of a paschitin, bread made from wheat, velo pas sa'orin. Rashi explained that it takes quicker to eat wheat bread as opposed to barley bread, takes a little bit longer. And it says, mace, when a person sits down, a person sits, he eats much quicker than when he's walking around eating back and forth. So the amount of time it takes to eat wheat bread, and he's sitting down, vocha blifson, he has some dip. When you have dip, it makes it quicker because you're hungry, it's tasty. So all of those together is the shear. We use chita as the shear for kedei achilas pras when it comes to tumah. Now, kedei achilas pras applies to other areas as well when it comes to brecha achrona, that a person should eat in the amount of time it takes to eat a kedei achilas pras. There's a big discussion how long kedei achilas pras is. Chassam Sofer felt it was 9 minutes. Chaznish wasn't sure where he got that from. Some say anywhere between 2 and 9 minutes and everything in between. So the Chaznish says, I don't know where the Chassam Sofer got 9 minutes from, but if he said it, it's hard for us to go against him. So he says, at least legabe Yom Kippur, when a person that needs to eat, let's say, Bishirim, so he should wait every 9 minutes. That's enough of a waiting period to be considered separating between achilas and not to be a kedei achilas pras. But he says when it comes to eating matzah to fulfill a mitzvah, you should not rely on 9 minutes of chassam tovah. That's too long of a shir. And therefore, you should go for one of the shorter shirim, 2, 3, 4 minutes, that a person should eat the kazayis of achilas matzah and achilas marah in the right amount of time. Now, another big discussion that, yeah?
So we applied a pras kitin for every time achilas pras, or only for these cases?
Every single case of a kedayis. Whenever you need to achilas pras, it's always pas. There's a discussion. Do you go based on your own individual eating or the average guy? So Minchas Chinuch says, does it mean I eat much quicker than you, or you eat much quicker than me? Does it go based on adam benoni, an average person, where each person it's subjective? And the Minchas Chinuch think it's an objective thing. Whatever an adam benoni, whatever he eats, that would be the shear that we'd be looking for. Now, another interesting thing that comes up, we've shown him based on this concept that shiurim, or halacha Moshe b'Sinai, do shiurim apply to a ben noach or not? Does a ben noach, is he subject to shiurim? So there is an interesting discussion when it comes to the Rush and others, that does a 13-year-old boy, does that make a ben noach a gadol, or does not make him a ben, does not make him a gadol? So there's, again, a massive machlokas, it depends on many, many different things, but the Rush talks about such a concept. Similarly, do we say that when it comes to the shear of eating, does that also apply to Ben Noach or not? So the Rambam says that shiurim do not apply to Ben Noach. Since shiurim are halacha Moshe b'Sinai, and Ben Noach were not at Har Sinai, they do not have shiurim. Therefore, if they were to eat the kol shu of whatever they can eat, the Eiver Ben Achai, they're also, even though it's a kol shu. If a yid were to eat a kol shu of Eiver Ben Achai, they're achai, they have a kedayis. But Ben Noach, actually, since he wasn't at Har Sinai, he would actually be a potter in doing so. He would be us, rather, even in a kol shu. Now, there actually is a din that Tosfos Chulin argues. Tosfos does think that shiurim do apply to Ben Noach, but most of the Rishonim actually think that shiurim do not apply, and they are chayv even eating a simple kol shu. Fine, back inside the Gemara now. So that explains a chita, what the relevance of chita is. Now, when it comes to the next thing, a seora, what's the relevance of barley? So seora, that's not, the Mishnah tells us that etzem kiseora, if you have a bone that's the size of a barley kernel, so mitame b'mag v'masa, if a person were to touch it, if it's from mace, he would become tame. If he were to carry it, he'd be tame as well. But v'eino mitame b'ohel, it's not enough to be mitame b'ohel, because mitame b'ohel, if you look at Rashi, the two lines up in Rashi, eino mitame b'ohel, shum etzem b'lo basar. No bone, without there being any flesh, it can't be mitame. Ache sham shidra shleim, unless the whole spine is intact, oh, gulgolas, or the skull, or ro binyama, or most of the body, but stama, a piece of bone, is only metame magamasa, but not metame ba'ol. But we see it is enough to be metame b'magamasa, and therefore that's the relevance of the shear of a seora. Geffen, the third thing, when it comes to a grape, kidei revius yayin lenazir, the amount of shear that a revius of wine, if a nazir were to eat it, he's chayv, drink it, he's chayv malkos. The fourth thing, the top of Dalet Amud Beis now, the Gemara says, te'eina, when it comes to a fig, it's kirgo geres. Lehotzah Shabbos, a dried fig is relevant in terms of carrying food on Shabbos. If you carry the amount of a te'eina, a gogeres, you chayv hotzah. A rimon, what's the relevance of a rimon, a pomegranate, kidetzan, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Kalim, that kol kli bali batim shirim kirimonim. Now we know Kalim are metame, it's if it cuts into contact with whatever, I don't know, tame mace, it's tame. Unless there's a hole, a gap, in the keli that's the size of a rimon, that if you put a pomegranate, it's going to fall right through, that's no longer considered kli. So that's the relevance of the shiva rimon. Just look at Tosos just for a quick second. Dear Masto, kol kli bali batim shirin kirimonim gabe kli h. This is true. The size of a rimon is only true lagabe a wooden kli. Mesniya b'maseches kelim perikid zayin. Aval gabe kli charis, a earthenware one, tanam b'perigimel de kelim hasum la'ochlim, they're meant for holding food, shirim kezayis. It's actually not true. Not all kelim have the shear of a rimon. A kli charis is a shear of a kezayis. So Tosa asks a question. V'ha damar b'sofa matzniya. We learned in Shabbos daf tzadihei a couple months ago. Chamesh midos b'klei charetz nikav kamotzi zayis v'chuli. We had all the different shirim of holes in klei charetz that are going to render it tame. V'adayin klihu l'kava bo rimonim haynu hecha diyachti the rimonim avastama have a kamotzi zayis. What he's referring to there, he doesn't quote the whole Gemara, but the Gemara did have a shir of rimon, that if the kli charetz had not been had there not been a hole the size of a rimon, it would still be a kli. So we see even for klei charetz, a rimon renders a kli charetz tame, just like a kli eitz. So how could Tosfos make a distinction that it's a kezayis that renders a kli charis no longer kli? So Tosfos answers, typically, generally speaking, a kli kezayis, hole of a kezayis in kli charis makes it not a kli. But unless the kli charis was meyuchad for rimonim, it was designated just for pomegranates, then he would agree that a rimon, the size, a hole the size of a rimon, would also, that would be the shear necessary to disqualify a kli charis of being a kli. So Gemara now says further that that's a rimon. So Gemara, that's eretz zeis shemen. What about the size of an olive kezayis? Eretz shekol shiureha kezayisim. It's a land that all shirim are that of Azayas. Which is not true. Kol shirim, sakadataka. When you think every shir is a kazayas, va'ika hanidamarim. We just listed six other ones that were not kashir kazayas. We spoke with achita, sora. So it's not every shir of the Eretz Yisrael is a kazayas. Ela emoch eretz shirov shire kazayasim. It's a land that many or most of the shir markazesim, and Rashi lists examples: achilas dam, achilas chelav, achilas dam, noser, pigal, tamei, nevela, behemah, tmeah, baser, hames, and so on. Most of the shir markazais. That's what's in Eretz Zeis Shemen. And then Ella. So then the Gemara says, what about finally dvash when it comes to honey? So Tosas, rather Rashi points out, dvash always refers to dvash of tamarim when it comes to dates, not the honey, bee honey. So dates, when you squeeze dates, are very juicy. The honey of the date comes out. That's what we're referring to. Dvash tamarim. So what's the relevance of dvash tamarim? Ki koseves hagasa yom kippur. When it comes to eating, the eating isra achila yom kippur is the size of a koseves, not the size of a zayis, like normal, but it's the size of a koseves. So we just established all seven of these are mace in the pasuk. So how could the Gemara tell us before that's really halacha moshe Sinai shirim? We just brought the pasuk that said they're all rooted in the Torah. So the Gemara says, but Tizbara, does it make sense? Shirim michte ksivi? Is the shir mentioned? We just listed shivas aminim. We didn't say that chita is for base of nuga and sora for tumas mace. These are just the smachnes bahama. That's not really a pasuk that tells us shirim. El hilchas aninu. It's really halacha moshe Sinai. Vas mechin rabban akra. And the rabban just brought in a smachde in the pasuk, but it's not really halacha moshe Sinai. It's not really a pasuk. It really is a halacha moshe Sinai. In the end of the day, there seemed to be a debate in the Acharim how we assume halacha lamaisa. Do we assume that shirim are halacha moshe Sinai? Or do we assume it's really there really are psukim? Most Rishonim hold that's halacha moshe Sinai. The Rambam says that quite clearly. Now, what's interesting in the discussion in the poskim, when it comes to the shir of chita, sara, and so forth, do we go based on the size of shirim that are in Eretz Yisrael? That means here in America, we don't care what the size of kazayas is or rimon here. We look at the pomegranates in Eretz Yisrael. So some poskim say, yeah, since the pasuk focuses on the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, we have to go based on calculating the shirim of a kazayas and a rimon and a tena in Eretz Yisrael, even though in New York might have different shirim. However, the Chazon Ish and many, many others felt that would not be the case. It's very hard to measure that way. A guy never made his way to Eretz Yisrael. That means he'll never fulfill his proper shirim. Hard to say that. So when it talked about shirim, it's talking about the shir. Wherever you live, that's the size of it. Now, part of this has become, nowadays, we don't have, no one has said kazayas, which is, the Chassam Sofer says, kazayas now is half of what it used to be the times of the Gemara. So we don't have it anymore. So we should go based on what we have now. So that's part of a larger discussion. And everyone says the whole chumr of having two kazayasim, Chazon Ish says, is a big, big chumr to do so. We try to makbid on it when it comes to Pesach and eating matzah. In the end of the day, if a guy can't do two kazayasim, you could certainly rely on the fact that kazayasim nowadays have changed, and you could rely on the smaller shear if really needs. But again, he frowns upon it. You shouldn't rely on that unless there's a real need. So Gemara now says, so that explained the concept of shirim, that halacha moshe Sinai, psukim, and we conclude from this Gemara, at least, it's halacha the moshe Sinai. So Gemara now says, chatzitim. We spoke about a chatzita, the Gemara had said on Amr Aleph, that one of the three things that are halacha moshe Sinai are chatzitim. A chatzita, a guy goes to the mikvah, it's a halacha moshe Sinai. Gemara says, really, is that true? It's only halacha moshe Sinai. Chatzitim are derayis aninu. There are psukim that talk about this. What's the pasuk that tells us it's a chatzita? Pasuk says, "V'rachatz es kol b'saro b'maim." You have to wash your entire flesh body in the water. Shelo yehei davar chotetz bein b'saro l'maim. There should not be any breaks, any chatzita between the basar and the water. So we see it's a drash in the pasuk. And furthermore, b'maim teaches us b'maim b'mei mikvah. A person needs to go in a mikvah, proper mikvah with the proper size. Kol b'saro teaches the entire flesh means maim shekol gufo ola behen. Has to be the amount of water that the entire body could be immersed at one time. The kamehain, how much is that? What's the shear of a mikvah? Ama al ama barom shosha amos, an ama ba ama area with the height of three amos. Vishir chacham, the chacham were able to figure out that was a volume of me mikvah is arba'im. So it's 40 sus. We see clearly that the Indian of chatzitza is actually a din deraita. It's not simply halacha the moshe Sinai. Now, interesting here, the Gemara here is mashma, that the concept of 40 sa is a din deraita. The Gemara in Nazir, however, seems to imply that really the sheer revius is all you really need for a mikvah. Now, obviously, a person can't fit in a revius, but anything above revius, whatever amount of water I need, is sufficient. 40 sa is only a din chachamim. So how do you reconcile the Gemara here, which implies that 40 sa is a deraisa, and 40 sa is only midirban, according to the Gemara in Nazir? So some Rishonim say that the sheer of revius is only by kalim. The Chama added by kalim, derabani shah 40 sa. When it comes to an Adam, that everybody agrees, the Raisa, you require 40 sa. But the Bach actually holds that, no, he thinks even by Adam, 40 sa is only a din derabanan. We normally assume that 40 sa is a din deraisa by Adam as well. Gemara then, fine. The Gemara goes, Vaitu now, so after establishing that Chatzitza is a din deraisa, not halacha Moshe Mesinai, the Gemara says, wait a second here. That V'kietzrech hilchasa l'saro. You're right. The concept of chatzitza is a din deraisa, but to tell me that hair, if hair were to get into a knot, that is what halacha Moshe Mesinai teaches me, that you do not learn from the psukim. Uchadraba bar Rav Huna, damaraba bar Rav Huna, nima achas kshur. If there's one thread of hair that's tied to itself, chotetzes, that's very tight, it's going to be a chatzitza. Shalosh, if it's three that hairs that are kind of tangled with each other, ain't a chotetzes, that's not going to create a very strong knot. And really, midraisa, that's not that's chatzitza. Shtaim ein yodei. If two hairs are entangled with each other, I don't know whether that is going to be the chatzitza or not. But anyway, either way, that concept of hairs being chatzitza, that is what we learn from Halacha, the Moshe Mesinai, where it says not true. Saro nami deraisi. The concept of hair being a chatzitza is also a din in the Torah. How do we know? The Sani, the Braisa says, V'rochatz es kol b'saro. What's es kol b'saro? Es is always es atofel b'saro, that which is secondary to basar. What's secondary? What's tofel to basar? V'zehu seyar. So hair is tofel, that's es b'saro, including that even hair this can serve as a chatzitza if it's knotted with each other. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. So chatzitza is deraisa, even the seyar is deraisa. So what are we coming to learn from Halacha l'Moshe Mesinai? Which aspect of chatzitza? So Gemara explains, ki asa hilchasa lerubo ulemiuto ulemakbid l'shein makbid. When it comes to if the chatzitza is covering most of the body or only part of the body, if it's something that a person's makbid about, a person's not makbid on, that's what we learn from Halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. As it's clarified, k'dav Yitzchak, damar Reb Yitzchak, davar Torah, rubo if you have something on the body that covers most of the body, or at least most of the area of the body, let's say a hand, you're washing your hand. So if I have a glove on my hand, so that's something that is rope of the rope, and I'm makbid. I mean, I don't want my glove to be here all the time. I take it off oftentimes. So that's both rove and makbid. So that's a midiraisa. That's davar Torah, rubo, umakbid alava chotet. And if it's she'ena makbid alava, and eno chotet. If I don't care about it, that's not it's not a chatzitza. However, gazu arubo, they were gozer chachamim, rubo sheno makbid. If I have a glove that covers most of my hand, and I don't really care if the glove is there, that there goes that that's going to be chatzitza as well. One without the other is gzera midrabanan. Mishum because of rubo umakbid, and there also goes there. Secondly, val miuto hamakbid. If only a little bit of something's on my hand, it's only mute, and I'm not, and I am makbid min hatara. It's not a chatzitza because it's not rubo. But chachamim goes there again. In this case, al miuto hamakbid. Why mishum rubo? Umakbid. So there goes there a second layer of things. So midraisa has to be rubo umakbid. Midrabanan, either rov or makbid, one or the other, is a dirbanan. So Gemara says, let's take it one step further. Beligzar nami al miuto sheno makbid. Why aren't we goes there on a miut that I don't care about? Mishum miuto umakbid, because of a miut that I am makbid on, or mishum rubo sheno makbid. So why not make a third level here? So the Gemara says, as we all know, he gufa gzeira. The shear of rov, or eino makbid, or mute, and makbid, that itself is a category that's a gzeira. So now you want to add another gzeira in the gzeira, vana nikam v'nigzer, gzeira, we don't do all that. So we learn from all this, that this is the, by when it comes to chatzitza, mederaisa, chatzitza is deraisa, Seyar is also deraisa, but what we learn from Halacha Moshe Mesinai is this concept of other types of chatzitzas. What's the shear of a chatzitza? The rov of makbid, that's the davar Torah. That's what we learn from Halacha Moshe Mesinai. That's not rooted at all in a pasuk. Gemara now says further, let's finish off the daf now. Gemara says, mechitzos deraisa ninu. So we said that one of the three things mentioned in Halacha Moshe Mesinai is mechitzos. Now, just to be clear, these are not the only things that are Halacha Moshe Mesinai. There are many other things that are Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Nisach HaMayim, for example. The Gemara oftentimes groups these Halacha Moshe Mesinai statements as three. So these three come together as Shirim, Chatzitin, and Mechitah. So this third category of Mechitin is Halacha, the Moshe Sinai. So Gemara says, is that really true? Mechitas are deraisa ninhu. Damar mar, rather deraisa ninhu. They are deraisa. How do we know the deraisa? Damar mar, we have a statement. Aron tisha v'kaporas tefach harei kan asara. The height of an aron was a total of 10 tefachim. The aron itself was 9 tefachim, and the kaporas on top, the cover, was another tefach. That amounts to 10 tefachim. So how does that measurement work out? If you look at Rashi around the last 5 narrow lines or so, Rashi says, aron tisha v'kaporas tefach. Aron gova tisha tefachim. The height of aron is 9 tefachim. How do we know? The Chassid says in the pasuk when describing the dimensions of the aron, v'ama v'chatzi komaso. So an am and a half was the height of the aron. V'kaporas tefach harei asara. How do you know an amas? What's an amas? An amma of 6 tefachim. We described it the other day. I'm going to alif a little bit. The amma is either 6 tefachim or 5 tefachim. If you use an amma of 6 tefachim and the height of an aron is amma and a half, that's amma 6 tefachim, and another half is another 3 tefachim, that gives a height of the aron's 9 tefachim high. And the kaporas is another tefach, so that gives you a total of 10 tefachim. So let's continue with Rashi. And the Rashi says further, so after establishing the height of an aron is 10 tefachim, v'kusiv v'dibarti itcha mi'al ha-kaporas, and I spoke to you, Hashem said, I spoke to you from above, on top of the kaporas, v'tani b'per kama de sukkah, Rabbi Yossi omer li olam lo yarda shechina lamata mi'asara, the shechina never went below 10 tefachim, d'chsiv ha-shemayim shraim la-Hashem v'art na-son levnei Adam, ulamata mi'asara tefachim, below, within 10 tefachim, to the ground, chashiv art, that's called the ground. So Hashem never entered ha-art na-son levnei Adam. He doesn't come into the territory of 10 tefachim. Above the kaparis. So you see from here, Alma Asara Havi Mechita Dilamala Measara Lochashiv Lerushus Tachtea and Lerushus Achrisa. From the fact that above 10 tefachim is where Hashem would stay, 10 tefachim indicates a separation of Rishuyos. From top to bottom, 10 tefachim is enough of a height to say that that's Shemaim and this is Aretz. So that's where we learn the Aron as the source of a Mechitza. So then the Gemara says, after establishing that, so we see that 10 tefachim as a mechitza is in the Torah. It's not a halacha, the Moshe Mishnah. It's a pasuk. So Gemara says, lo tzvicha, it was only needed the Rebbe Yehuda. Damar amas abinyan ba'ama bash shisha, ama, but kalim ba'ama bas chamisha. Rebbe Yehuda distinguishes when it comes to constructing the Beis HaMikdash, when it came to the actual building, the structure of the binyan, that he agreed was 6 tefachim amas. When it comes to the kalim, when it came to the kalim, the mizbeach and the shulchan and the menorah, that was using 5 tefachim kalim. Now what comes out for him, the aron, using that would be 5 plus 2.5 height. That's the height, right? 1.5 amas, we 5 tefachim, plus another 2.5, that's only 7.5 tefachim, plus another tefach, that would be 8.5 tefachim, that the aron was only 8.5 tefachim high, not 10 tefachim. Everyone agrees a mechitza is 10 tefachim. The question, where do you learn this from? So Rabbi Yehuda certainly cannot learn from the aron, because the aron was only only 8.5 tefachim high. So that's why Halacha Moshe Sinai was for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda couldn't learn from the pasuk. He was the one who felt that the din of Mechitza Ten Tefachim is Halacha the Moshe Sinai. And then the Gemara says, Ulu Rabbi Meir, Damer, he felt, Kol ha'amos havi beinunis, ma'ik le'meimar. According to him, that he felt that every shear was all 6 tefachim of the average person. So how does he deal with Halacha Moshe Sinai? He doesn't need this. So what's he going to do with the statement that shirim, chatzitin, mechitzas are halacha Moshe Sinai? He doesn't need to learn mechitzas from halacha Moshe Sinai. So Gemara says, L'Rabbi Meir, kiyasa hilchasa l'gud u'l'lavud l'dofen akuma. It's needed for those different areas. If you look at Rashi, Rashi explains, to look at Rashi around, 15 lines up, he says, bebeinunis. He says, ba'amas bas shisha beinunis l'chalam, Adam, the size of an amma is 6 tefachim long for Rabbi Meir. V'yesh gedol mimena kedamer b'ketzet tzolin, shei amos hayubashush and habira, achas yisera al shesh, al shamoshe, chatzi etzba, v'achas yisera aleh, chatzi etzba, nimtes yisera al shalosh, al shamoshe etzba. There are different, there were a couple ammas in the base of Mikdash, which was like an extra finger length above a typical amma. The good, so what he needed with Halacha Moshe Sinai for him was not the size of mechitza, not much he knew, but to teach me other dinim of mechitza, such as lagud, which is damina and bekama duchte, good achis, good asik, which is what we should get very familiar with these terms. We're going to learn a lot about this in Erevin. Good achis, good asik. Good asik is, let's say you have an overhang. So now, you normally need kana mikan, kan mikan, kana agabem. You need a string on top, a post on top. But let's say you have an overhang. Sometimes that overhang can actually be viewed as coming down halachli, and that itself will be viewed as a mechitza. And good achas is when you have something on the ground, like a mechitza, 10 tefachim high, you can have, once you hit 10 tefachim, that mechitza is viewed as good achas, as if it goes all the way up. So sometimes you find in Eretz Yisrael, tied out during Sukkot. So they don't like to, you know, close the walls. So you go to like a pizza store outside, they have a wall like this high. And the schach isn't until like another few amos higher. Because once you have 10 tefachim, we say good achas, it goes all the way up. So it's good achas, the good asik, which just means we're able to virtually extend the wall of the mechitzos. That's one thing we learn from Halacha Mishmasinai. Number two is we learn the concept of lavud. Lavud tells us that when something's within three tefachim, less than three tefachim, we view it as being connected. So let's say it's this far away, the walls, that's viewed as a closed gap. We'll see that a lot as well. And Dof and Akuma, we addressed the other day, when it came to a sukkah, a schach can't be dalt amos away from the wall. If it's like that, that's not possible. That's possible. But if it's within dalt amos, so even though there's still a gap, we view the wall as connecting to the schach. There's a machlok we've shown him in Gemara and Sukkah, to review the good, when we, halachically, how do we view that? That if, again, the wall's here, and the schach's here, and there's less than dalt amos, there's no gap. Is it viewed as if the wall is moved over like that? Or is it viewed as if the schach was extended that way? And there's actually a big nafkamina in doing so, because if you view it as the wall moved over here, you shouldn't be able to sit underneath this area, because there's no schach there. But if you view it as if the schach were over there, you would be able to sit underneath that area. That's a machlokus in the Rishonim found in Sukkah. But this is just to touch a little bit upon these different concepts. So we'll stop here. And Mitzvah Hashem, we will continue tomorrow.